Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to have Mandy Murphy on the show today. Mandy is anchor of Fox 2 News at 5 and 9 p.m. She became a full-time anchor at Fox 2 News in January 1993, only a year and a half after she joined KTVI Fox 2 as the Contact 2 reporter. Mandy has been honored with 13 Emmy Awards and 4 Edward R. Murrow Awards. Mandy, I am so excited about this, just having you on the show. And you and I recently met because I actually asked you to MC an event.
Yes.
In so doing, we both realized that we had known about one another for a while because we both graduated from
Murray State University. Racers.
Go Racers. And then for how many years were you the anchor for WPSD?
I anchored in Paducah for about 3 years. I worked there a summer between my junior and senior year, and then I was hired right out of college and then stayed there for a couple of years before coming to St. Louis.
Sure. And if our listeners don't know, Greg and I are from this small western Kentucky river town, Paducah.
Yeah.
And so Mandy was on the air. So my dad and my mother-in-law and everyone knows about Mandy Murphy. So talk to us a little bit about how you grew up. You grew up in a smaller town, didn't you?
I did. I grew up in Princeton, Kentucky. Okay. I tell people from St. Louis I'm from the Paducah area because a lot of people do not know Princeton. And I
right.
find when I'm around you, Lisa, I start talking with my Kentucky accent more.
Right.
So, and I love that, though. But, yeah, I grew up in Princeton, small town, and I started working at a little radio station there. I mean, truly, it was two rooms. And I worked there when I was 15, all through high school. And that's back when we actually had 45 records, and I was a disc jockey.
Were you spinning records?
I was spinning records.
Wow.
Yeah. It was so funny because I would work on Sunday morning sometimes, and I'd plug in all the local churches and get them going, and it was just so much fun, and I did that all through high school, and then went on to Murray State from there.
So what was it in your growing up that just really attracted you to radio? I mean, there had to be something.
When I was 15, there was only one fast food restaurant in Princeton, and it was Burger Queen, not Burger King.
Not Burger King. Burger Queen.
And all my friends wanted to work at Burger Queen, and I did too. And my mom, who ran a hair salon, she's a hairdresser in Princeton, she said, "No, you talk all the time. You're always getting in trouble for talking at school." And one of her customers, her husband owned the radio station. So she's like, "Let me talk to her and see if there are any jobs because mm-hmm. I think this might be good and you might enjoy it. Do something other than working at Burger Queen." So she did, and I went out and I recorded my voice, and they ended up hiring me for a few hours on a Saturday afternoon for the local radio station. And then I just started reading news on the hour and mm-hmm. getting involved in it. And, you know, all of us grew up watching Channel 6 in Paducah. And so I thought, wow, that would be amazing if I could ever get a job there. And then I did. I applied for a job there while I was actually in high school, which is ridiculous.
Right. But why not?
Why
right?
not?
Why
yeah.
not?
Right.
Well, that was smart of your mom.
Yeah.
She probably saw in you, Mandy, that, hey, this could be something, and you did like to talk,
right.
and you could carry on a conversation,
right.
and she saw that skill set and thought,
she did, and I'm so thankful that
right,
she did.
Because it set you
it opened something
trajectory.
Up for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. So upon graduating from high school, then you ended up enrolling at Murray State. Murray State had a great broadcasting program, right?
They really did,
right.
and still do.
Mm-hmm.
I looked around. I mean, I was looking at Western Kentucky University, Murray, University of Kentucky, and Murray had the best program. They had a campus television station where, as a freshman, you could go in and get involved. And so I just jumped right in as a freshman, and then by the time I was a junior, I was practically running the TV station, and we put on a nightly newscast on cable in Murray. And those opportunities aren't available at a lot of colleges. And I tell people who are interested in this career path, go somewhere where you can get experience,
mm-hmm.
because that's what it is about. An employer will look at a resume and say, what have you done?
Right.
And if you've got a lot of experience doing your own shows and really being innovative and trying mm-hmm. new things,
well, that's you what already they want. Had 7 years, 7 or 8 years in that space before you
right.
got hired, you know,
right.
before you graduated, which is
right.
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to kids today, too. I mean, the internships, some of the most talented IT people that we have hired mm-hmm. have been people that have actually had internships. They've actually done things. They've actually
yes.
not just the theory, but they've actually got practical experience.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are just worth a lot.
Because that's where you make your mistakes. That's where
yes.
you learn. You
yes.
learn at smaller television stations
mm-hmm.
and radio stations and things like that. And you build your confidence
mm-hmm.
and you're ready to take the next step.
So upon graduation, you were hired by WPSD in Paducah. You were there for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then you made a transition to St. Louis. What was that like?
I remember when I started looking for a job and I wanted to look at Nashville or St. Louis because those were the regional markets. St. Louis was a huge step, and they had a consumer reporter job opening, and I was doing consumer reporting at WPSD and anchoring weekends at the time. And I applied for the job, and I got it. Remember Tom Butler?
I do.
Who was the longtime anchor.
Tom
bless
Butler.
His soul. He's deceased now.
Mm-hmm.
But I walked into his office, and I told him that I was leaving, and he said, Mandy, you have to really be careful. They will eat you alive in St. Louis. And I thought, what does that mean? You know, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got here, I was like, no one's going to eat me alive.
You were probably preparing for the worst.
I really was. But I kind of went into it with, I can do the job that's in front of me. I'm not going in trying to be the evening anchor. And that's where I think a lot of people make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Set a goal that's achievable,
mm-hmm.
that you can do and you can do well, and you know you're ready for the next goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came here as consumer reporter, it was great. I did a story that got me the job here. Remember when they had Pepsi bottles that were recyclable and they were the glass bottles that you'd have a Pepsi and you turn in the bottles?
Oh, sure.
So the Pepsi plant in Marion, Illinois, did the bottling for some of these Pepsis. And I had a woman call me while I was in Paducah, and there was a syringe that was accidentally bottled in a bottle. And I ended up doing the story, and they said, yes, it was a big mistake. We don't know how that happened. We have a wonderful process for this never happening. But we followed it through to the very end, and it was one of those OMG stories that the viewer was like, wow, that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it got the attention of my boss in St. Louis at Channel 2 when I sent in my resume tape, and he's like, I love that. Someone who's trying a different story, willing to follow it through, and that got
mm-hmm.
me the job.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've been here for 28 years.
Well, we're so glad that you're here. You are such a bright light in our community. What's the process, Mandy, that you go through to even find out something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm thinking as a journalist.
You get a call or you hear about something, and then you call the person. It always starts with the person who's affected, no matter how big the story is, but it's about one person, really. And a television news story is just a story about that person and how this issue has affected them. So you talk to that person, you find out their issue, and then you have to do your checks and balances and find out if it's true. As a consumer reporter for years, there were a lot of stories that really weren't exactly what the person said in the initial stages.
And you find that out as you're interviewing more people around that issue.
And there's two sides to every story.
Absolutely.
And so when you have a big corporation or a business who's accused of something, you go to them, you give them a chance to tell their side. There's always two sides. But you're an advocate for the little guy. And as a consumer reporter, that was my job, an advocate for the little guy who couldn't get the big guy to listen to him or pay attention. Still with my stories now, it starts with one person reaching out to you and you finding out what's going on, investigating it, seeing if it's true, and giving everyone an opportunity to speak to it. And then how is my story helping people? Why is it relevant? What can I do to bring about positive change? So those are all things that you look as part of the story.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking in that particular story, I bet they tightened up their processes after
that. Yeah.
So that would not happen again.
Right.
So you came here, you were hired here in the consumer reporting. And then how long did you do that? And then what did you move into next?
I only did that for about a year and a half. And I was filling in as the morning show anchor, weekends, wherever someone was off, I'm in. I don't care what time, I'm fine with it. So I was filling in on the evening shows. Dana King was the anchor here at the time, and she got a job at Good Morning America. So when she left, she was anchoring with Dick Ford. And I had been filling in, and they were bringing anchors in from all over the country. And they did focus groups, and no one was really connecting with the viewer. And so Dick walked in to my boss at the time and said, "Why don't you give that little girl from Kentucky a chance?" And they did. Mm-hmm. And he told me, he said, "Go in, advocate for yourself." So I did, because I thought, there's no way they're going to hire me. But I thought, you know, I can do this again.
Right.
I'm like, this is something I can
that
do.
That you can do.
And no one's going to work harder than me. I've established credibility here, and I'm going to be here for the long term. A lot of people in our business, it's a stepping stone.
Right.
And they don't want to stay anywhere for a long period. And I really did. I wanted this to be my home.
You wanted this to be your home. And we'll talk about that, because you've raised kids here and all kinds of things. So you have made it your home. But I'm thinking about that story. And we hear a lot today about sponsors and mentors. And that was Dick Ford that went into your boss.
He was
your sponsor.
Mentor.
And he went in and said, "Hey, how about giving Mandy a chance?"
Yes.
And that's, you know, you need sometimes you need those people in your life that see something in you and then will go advocate for you. But there's so much packed in there. I mean, you also had the belief in yourself that
I
you could do the job.
I did.
So the confidence.
I did.
And I'm sure it was a little scary. I mean, you know, you always have that little bit of fear interpretation, but you know at the end of the day, I can do this, and I know that I'll work hard to make it happen.
And here I am sitting next to Dick Ford, a legend, who was quite a bit older than me when I started. I was anchoring full-time at 25 years old. So I had a lot to learn, and he taught me a lot. And I came into it with a humble heart. Teach me. I'm willing to do it. I want to work hard. And you have to do all of that.
Great advice, because that coachability is really important. And sometimes you see people that are not coachable, but when you are coachable and you come into it with that humility, wanting to learn, having a good work ethic, great things can happen. So that is great advice for the young people that may be listening. So then you started anchoring. You've been here for 28 years.
Yeah.
You've also raised children here. You've got, what, five kids, Mandy? I mean, you know, what we hear all the time, you've got to have a crazy schedule. So you do the 5 o'clock and the 9 o'clock. You go in at 2:30. You get off at around 10, but then last week you told me, well, I didn't get home till 1 because something special happening.
We had the World Series on all last week, so we did not go on the air until the post game was over, and then we did an hour and a half of news.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get off the air sometimes until after midnight. And then you go to bed, hopefully by 1, and then it's time to get up and take my daughter to school at 6:30.
Right. I mean, that's...
That was the way it was all last week. And that's just, our business is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned to adapt to all of it. And my kids have learned to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I worked every single holiday, every single Thanksgiving, Christmas holiday for many, many years. I didn't even have Thanksgiving with my family in Kentucky until the weekend after. Until probably 10 years ago,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
that's just what we have to do in our business.
Right.
And so I go home on my dinner break. I get off the air. I'm on at 5, get off at 6. I go home, have dinner with my family. I live close to the station. And then I turn around and go back and then do the 9 o'clock news and then come home.
Well, we're going to talk more about that, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Mandy Murphy. As a business leader, you know that keeping a solid first impression with your potential clients, customers, and talent is vital to reaching your organization's goals. If you haven't optimized your website, or if you don't even have a website, you're missing an opportunity to shape your first impression so that it shows your brand in the best possible light. If you're thinking about revolutionizing your website, let's talk. Our team at Technology Partners is ready to help you reshape your online presence. Go to tpi.co/websites and start your journey today. So, Mandy, I'm just thinking when Dick Ford went to your boss and said, give her a chance, because nobody else was connecting, the word that I wrote down at that time was authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the connection. You are a real person. What does that look like for you? How have you brought that to the listening audience?
I think you just have to be real. And the way I approach this is it's not fake. When I'm doing the news, if I'm laughing about something, if I'm touched by a story, if I'm sad about something, I'm going to say it. It's not prepared. It's real. And by being real, I've shared with our viewers over the years the ups and the downs of my life. By starting so early and being on the air for 28 years, I've gone through pregnancies. I've lost 3 babies and talked about it on television. I've talked about my involvement in groups like Share Pregnancy and Infant Loss Support. I was the president of their board for a while. And I've gone through a divorce. I have remarried. I have 3 stepkids. I have just lived life with our
mm-hmm.
viewers.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not perfect. Bad things happen to me just like they happen to other people, and good things happen. But that's the way it is for everyone. And when I first got pregnant and I had a loss, I thought, I'm not going to talk about it. I don't want anyone to know, because I don't want to be that anchor that said she was pregnant and then had this awful thing happen to her. And I thought, why am I doing that? Because there are a lot of other people who've walked in those shoes, a lot of women. So why not make this something that helps someone else? So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to be real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be real with the good times and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been. And I continue to be.
Right.
Like it or not. This is who you get.
This is who you get. What you see is what you get. Well, I do believe that that is the reason that you're so loved, is because you're relatable. And if people saw someone up there that never had any kind of adversity or life looked perfect, that's not them. Their life is not that. So how can
I? No, I'm raising
kids. I don't even understand this person.
I go through all the junk with teenagers that everyone does. You know,
tell me the funny story recently.
Well, my 13-year-old daughter, she's the youngest. And I tell you, social media with teenagers is just brutal right now. And trying to stay on top of it. It is hard for me because I didn't grow up doing this.
Right,
I'm trying
right.
to stay ahead and I'm behind. So trying to stay ahead of what she's doing on her phone. And then I found her doing some things that she shouldn't be. saying things she shouldn't, and I just had it. I took her iPhone away, and I gave her a flip phone. I went to the phone store, and they said, yeah, you and all the other moms, they're all coming in here getting flip phones. So she was horrified. She started the new school year with a flip phone. And she would have to hide to call me because she was horrified.
She was embarrassed.
You know, she learned there was a consequence for that action. Mm-hmm. And I'm her mom. I want to be your friend, but I'm her mom first. So she learned a lesson, and now she has her iPhone back. But well, I had so many viewers say, that's doing the same thing.
Right. And they are experiencing exactly what you described, you know, as well. So I love that. But Mandy, I think about this, and like you've got a daughter that's at Belmont right now.
Yes.
And you went recently to watch her.
Yes.
And not that I stalk you, but I did see what she said about you, and she's like, Mom, you are always in my corner. Yeah. You know, and so it's tough love, right?
Yes.
Sometimes we have to practice tough love with our kids, and they may say things that we're terrible parents and we don't understand at all this, but I really do believe that they'll come back around and say, I'm glad that you put those guardrails there.
My daughter at Belmont called me yesterday. I'm overwhelmed. I've got so much coming up, all of the productions and the class requirements, and she just needed me to talk to her and say, you're going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do it one day at a time. And you've got this, and here are your strengths, and here's how you get through it.
And if something doesn't go well, guess what? The sky is not going to fall.
Right.
It's not the end of the world, right?
Right.
So you've been in journalism for not that many years because you're still young, right? But I'm sure you've seen a lot of shifts. So how have you seen the shift in journalism, and where do you think it's going to go in the future? That's another great question.
It is dramatic. Mm-hmm. When I started, we used typewriters. We would rip copy off of the AP teletype and read copy from there. It's just vastly different. And where I see journalism now is very different than when I started. It is going much more away from what is actually on the air. The number of viewers who are sitting down to watch a 5 o'clock newscast has declined. There's so much competition. And young people and people our age, too, are on the go. Everyone's getting their news on their phone and their iPad and their mobile device. So we're having to change the way we approach the news and offer more through our website and reaching out to our viewers through social media, Facebook, Instagram, all of that. It's just totally changing the way we do news and how we present that to our viewer. And we're going to be doing more and more newscasts and specials on our website. I'm working on one right now that we'll be doing with all of our evening anchors, Sandy Miller and Jasmine and Shirley, and sharing family recipes and cooking. Because, again, we're real people. We cook dinner. And sharing things like that.
It is really, I mean, we always say technology, you know, is changing businesses. I mean, there's a digital transformation that's going on in every business, but it really has changed the way you guys have to deliver what you're delivering as well, doesn't it? I mean,
it really does.
You have to be agile and change with it.
You do. And if you don't, you'll be left behind. And you have to connect with the viewer where they are and where they're going. And so many people just don't sit down and watch the news as they used to. Thankfully, people still do. And St. Louis is a market where they care about who they see each night. And I'm thankful for that, that they don't want a rotating group of anchors.
Right.
And we have probably the most longevity of any television station in town. And I'm thankful for that because we have experience and we know St. Louis, and that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
It does.
And so we translate that to the web. So you're going to be seeing more and more special shows on fox2now.com, and I'll be promoting those on my Facebook page and all the different community organizations we're involved in. So it's just changing, and we've got to change with it.
Very good. You know, obviously you've made this your home. So what does St. Louis mean to you, and why would people want to come here and stay here? I think it's an awesome community. We're originally from Kentucky, as I said, but we've made this our home.
It's just a big little town. I really do feel like that. And, you know, one of the reasons I think is because I came here and I had a church home and I made a lot of my lifelong friends there. And then decided, you know, I don't want to go to L.A. I don't want to go to New York. Is that bad? Because that's what you're supposed to do in my job. But you can make a great living, mm-hmm. and you quality of life is important to me. Mm-hmm. And my family's only a 3.5-hour drive away. I'm caring for my stepmom who has dementia, who is in Kentucky. And there's just a lot of life to be lived here. And I wanted to raise my kids in a city like this that they have lots of opportunities, great education, mm-hmm. great corporate involvement in all of these different charitable events. I mean, this is a giving area, and people are so good here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's one of the most philanthropic communities, I think, in the country. Like Junior Achievement, I was involved in Junior Achievement for many, many years, and although we're not the fifth largest metro, it is like the fifth largest metro in giving to JA and the reach. And it just, I think it's a testament to the goodness of the people.
There's I think the media gets criticized a lot for just showing all the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there are bad things that happen, but we do show the good things too. And there are people who are making a difference. They may not be on a grand scale like at the Alzheimer's Walk. Mm-hmm. It may be just one person who is taking food to an elderly person who needs it. There are so many kind, giving people in St. Louis, and I think you've got to treat people that way. That's mm-hmm. That's kind of the narrative I'd like to see changed in St. Louis, is just how we treat people. I think if we treat people with kindness and respect, we'll get it back. And a lot of times that doesn't happen. There's all these issues going on in our area. But if you step back and say, you know what, if you treat people with respect and how you want to be treated, that'll go a long way.
Mm-hmm. The golden rule still applies.
It really does.
Mandy?
It's not complicated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just treat people the way you want to be treated. You may have a different opinion, mm-hmm. and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And I respect your opinion.
Right. Well, this is something extra. So mm-hmm. tell me if there's a something extra in a team member. It can be, you know, a former mentor. It can be a parent. What is the something extra that you've seen in that person?
I think passion. You mentioned Dick Ford. Dick still had the passion for his job until the day he retired. He never phoned it in. He never just showed up and put in his time. And that's how I want to be. I want my team, and it really is a team. I work with a team. I can't do this by myself.
Absolutely.
I have to have a great director, a great producer, a great co-anchor. It is absolutely a team. And if I have that passion, like he did, to always do your best, then the other things fall into place. They really do. I think that when I was 15 until today, if you do your best, it may not always be the outcome that you wanted, but you do try and you do your best and you have the passion. And he did. It's that passion to win is what drives you each mm-hmm. day and is important.
Right. Well, the responsibility of what you do is huge. Mm-hmm. You have a huge responsibility. People are putting their trust in you, and what
Absolutely.
You say is authentic and real and not fake.
Absolutely. I mean, we have a big responsibility.
You do.
I tell people over and over, words are powerful in every sense of the word, especially in my job. And if we say, this is what happened today, we need to be right. And yes, mistakes happen, mm-hmm. and you need to be accountable for those.
Right.
And we do. Mm-hmm. But it's very powerful. Lives are going to be impacted. You can help a person so many amazing ways through television. And then you can really hurt people too. So we have to stand back and say, whose lives are we affecting with this story? And is this the right thing to do?
That is a great
question.
Am
I caring for this person?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a grieving mom who just lost her son to a shooting, how am I treating that person?
How are you showing up there? Right. For any aspiring journalist out there, that's great advice right there.
It is.
You know, who are you affecting with this story? And
yes.
are you doing it in the right way.
And I see people who want to be first and have passion, but directed in the wrong way. You have to treat people with compassion first before being first on mm-hmm. the air.
Great advice. So what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs? So Dick Ford had passion. Mm-hmm. Do you believe every leader needs passion?
I think they do.
I do too.
I really do.
Right.
Because everyone's looking to you as being a role model.
Sure.
I have people who look to me as a role model. And if I don't care, why should they care?
I agree. So that's for your followers. Is there something coming up? We all want to watch your cooking show.
Yeah.
Because we want those family recipes for Thanksgiving. But is there something coming up? How can people connect with that, Mandy?
Well,
when is that going to happen?
Pretty soon. We don't know exactly when it's going to be on, but we're going to be putting things on our website on fox2now.com and then on my Facebook page. And believe me, we'll let people know when it's going to be. And we're just going to share old pictures from what it was like growing up, recipes that our moms made or mm-hmm. are just kind of traditions. Because we put out actually a Fox 2 cookbook years back, and it was so popular.
I bet.
And I have people every year say, no, tell me about that sweet potato casserole that you made. Oh, my gosh. So just things like that. People like to see those things. And I put that kind of thing on my Facebook. I love to garden and plant and do things and decorate for the holidays. And so mm-hmm.
just like everybody else,
I just share all of that with our viewers. And then we have a lot of special reports coming up this month, and we'll be sharing those in the days ahead as well.
Well, Mandy, this has just been so much fun. I feel like we've had the coffee and just, you know, we're just girlfriends.
Yeah.
So that is Mandy Murphy. And thank you so much for just being on the show today.
I'm happy to. I loved chatting with you. And when I knew about you long before we met, because I'm like, I've got to meet my Kentucky girl from Murray and all of the connections that we have.
That's right.
So thank you.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.